This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Yo, Mark, it's Ed, your favorite buyer. That dadgum seller's got to be kidding me. He takes 20 thou off $1 million price when he's at least $250,000 over what's sold lately. What in the heck is he thinking? Let's lower my offer by the same and see how that grabs his goober. He must have thought I was green behind the ears, or maybe he just believes in fairy tales.
Now, that was recorded in 2011, or maybe end of 2010, 2011, so a little different market than we are in today here, the sixth month of the year 2012. Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Your Local Realtor. I'm here with Talon on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. I've been touting the services of the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. Their website is sbba.org. Or you can call them at 699-6229. If you have bees, you want them safely removed. You do not have to kill them. They're really good for the planet. So I'm reading Santa Barbara News Press. Manhattan honeybees have taken up residence at the Waldorf Astoria, New York's most famous institution. And they plan to harvest their own honey, help pollinate plants in the skyscrapers, heavy heart of the city, and they're joining a mini beekeeper's boom that has taken over hotel rooftops from Paris to Times Square. And so it's kind of an interesting mix, and it just kind of caught my attention. This one fellow involved back there, Andrew Cote, he waged a successful campaign against the city's ban on keeping bees, and that was lifted in 2010. So good for them. Joining me for the second segment is a doctor, a PhD, Dr. Ann Sloan Devlin, and she's a psychologist, and we're going to talk a little bit about a book she wrote. She has a chapter on housing and talks about urbanism versus McMansions and a little bit of how people crave community and the physical environment, and she's spoken to realtors in her own area, so she'll be joining us in the second segment. And then, of course, the weekly multiple listing sales update, tracking median home price sales weekly and year to date. And maybe later in the third segment, if we have time, I got a little story on short sales, the short of it on deficiencies. And I got a phone call on my listing, and the guy's talking. We're just talking for a few short moments. I think he had first left a message, and I had his phone number, and we played phone tag, and we finally talked. And after a few moments, I said, so where are you from? And there was a silence. There was a hesitation. And I didn't realize it at the time, but the way he started to answer slowly, he thought I meant what was his ethnicity. And a little panic set in because you remember that I talked a lot about all the rules and regulations, and they were actually TV commercials and radio commercials where they would have someone call in who sounded foreign inquiring about a rental. And they had like three in a row, different sounds and different callers. And the person just said, oh, I'm sorry. That's taken. It's not available. And then the fourth guy sounds like, you know, general American English. Hello, I'm calling about, oh, yes, sir. When would you like to see that? So make an appointment. So, you know, so here I say to him, so where are you from? And then I heard him, he stammered a little bit, and he started, I said, no, I noticed your area code is not the 805. I didn't recognize the area code. I was just wondering where you lived. Where are you from? So just by happenstance, the guy had an accent, so he misconstrued my question. So have to be a little more concise when you ask that. Had an inquiry on a listing that came up recently, and, you know, you see a price that comes up so low, and it attracts all this attention, and, you know, what's that expression? Too good to be true. Too good to be true. The first comments were, needs to be all cash because of the condition of the property, and then the comments were further changed, and these are comments that are agent only, so the public doesn't see that online, that it's landlocked. Property is landlocked. And you just wonder, how could that be? How was it ever built in the first place if it's landlocked? Landlocked means you have no road or driveway to the property. It's surrounded by other properties. And so it turns out, besides being some steep driveway that they suggest is almost impassable in the winter, maybe because of the rains, it's certainly not for the snow. Not certain why that was stated, but there was an easement granted to the prior owner, it's a bank-owned property now, from Southern California Edison. So they must have, you know, an easement along some kind of driveway for their utilities, and so they must have granted this easement to this owner, but it's not recorded to the grant deed. We interviewed Matt Pence from First American Title last week, talked a little bit about that. Easements should be recorded and pertinent to the grant deed. So appurtenant, is that the word? Not pertinent, appurtenant. Well, pertinent, but that's a different word. I think appurtenant is more of an escrow term. Pertinent is important. Right. No, that's not what I don't mean important. I think appurtenant. I think that's the escrow term. But I could be wrong. So that's why I'm not in escrow. So can you imagine? So you can't get to the property without essentially trespassing. It's kind of an odd thing. Very odd. And we had talked about this once before. I should have actually have Matt on, back on again, because there's some rule, although I've heard that there's discrepant or this is contested, but the rule that I had heard was that, let's say, your grandfather owned some land and he owned two parcels, and parcel A was on the street and you could drive through parcel A to get to the back parcel B. And so he owned them both at one time. And then ultimately he sells them both to two different people, and then the person B in the back finds himself without an easement from the guy in the front. And so the story goes that if you could prove that they were both owned at one time by the same person, then you can force an easement on property A to get to the back property B. And so that was kind of a, but it was open to interpretation. We'll need to get the title company to make that certain. And talk about that difficult listing. They still have that listing out there. Bank owned, it's been on for at least a year, maybe more, where you can't see the house. And sometimes you'll have a property, particularly some rental units, where they call it subject to inspection, which always just frustrates buyers. You know, it's basically saying we cannot inspect the house until you have an accepted offer. Once you have an accepted offer, a seller knows, okay, we've come to an agreement, then we're going to disturb the occupants or the tenants or whatever it is. It's kind of rare because it's not too many buyers want to even look at it. But this house goes beyond that. This situation is not only you have to write the offer without seeing the property, you have to close escrow without seeing the property. And then after you own it, then you can try to get rid of the people inside. So you can see why that's been on the market quite a while, and I don't know what's going to happen to that. But it's kind of an unusual story. Okay, so we talked about bees, and we talked about our guest coming up, Dr. Anne Sloan Devlin. She's a psychology professor. I'm going to talk a little bit about her book. She wrote, she talked about urbanization versus McMansions. And she also has a little bit of information on the difference between men and women and what she called spatial cognition. I was hoping she could talk about how men and women look at houses differently. Maybe we can kind of grab that in. Smoking ban. I'd like to take a break right now, but I have no way of doing that, so I'll keep talking. Yes, I will take a break. How does that sound? Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the psychologist. He's going to talk a little bit about, great job. Great job, Richard. Looked up and printed the meaning of appurtenant. And it's defined as belonging, appertaining, now usually written appurtenant, a little different spelling. So that which belongs to something else, an appurtenant. So I guess I use that correctly, appurtenant to the grant deed. Thank you, Richard. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break. Come back with Dr. Devlin.